Hey, Renee, welcome to the studio.
You're in my great house. To be here. Oh my gosh, can you believe it? We actually did it.
We're in Gubby Gubby country today, and it's awesome to be here with you in the studio. How are you finding the sunny coast?
It's so nice to be here finally and to do this in person. Yeah. We've been running this podcast for about 6 months now. Yeah. We've done a few sessions online, so pretty cool to come together and bring the magic to the table.
Here we are. Yeah. Let's see what magic happens today. We've got some great questions as usual. We are here on the Promoted podcast, where we help you get promoted and be great when you get there. Today, we're answering your questions, and we're going to dive into all things first-time leaders today and talk about our best advice. So you might be thinking about getting into a leadership role. It might be the next career step for you, or you might have just landed your first leadership gig. If so, yay, congratulations, or awesome that you're thinking about it. Today, we hope that we can provide you some of the best advice that's helped us when we stepped into those leadership roles for the first time. Renee, is there anything that kind of comes to mind for you? What was that first? Firstly, what was your leadership experience, the first one that you had?
I think that it's been a gradual and incremental change for each role that I've kind of moved forward in my career with. So if I'm thinking back to my first kind of engineering technical job, moving then into the graduate program, from there moving into my first kind of senior analyst role, and then into a project engineer, each time I've changed roles and slowly increased my level of accountability, you build different skills, you have the opportunity to try new leadership styles. And I think regardless of whether you're in a formal leadership role or just doing a junior role or a technical role versus a leadership role, you can still lead in certain ways each time. So there's always opportunity to build those skills in leadership. But then when you take that first leap in finally leading a team, I think that's really where, the rubber hits the road in terms of what are the tools that you built and the skills you built to then finally land that job.
Yeah.
And then what is going to make you successful once you kind of kick off in that. So for me, I'm in my first exec role at the moment, and it's the first time that I've had to lead a team and understand the impact I'm having on other people directly in their roles, not just from a technical standpoint, but now, being a confidant, being someone they can go to share their personal and their professional lives to help them navigate the challenges that they're having in their roles, but also in their personal life, has been quite a dramatic change. So
super interesting.
Yeah, I've learned a huge amount, and I've been in the role, let's say 18 months now.
Yeah.
And it's been quite the journey for me.
Yeah.
What about you? What's your experience?
I think actually back to the first time I wanted to be a leader was actually way back in high school, and there was the opportunity to be prefect and you could nominate, and I remember I put my name forward and I didn't get it, and I literally in that moment went, oh well, then I'm not a leader, and I got knocked back from this leadership opportunity. And early on I had a lot of knockbacks, even though I really wanted to try out a leadership opportunity. Second time was at uni, where I wanted to start a women in engineering club. We didn't have one at QUT at the time. UQ had one, it was called Skirts in Engineering, and I thought, oh, that's great, let's just do it at QUT. And they actually said, we don't like the name and we're not going to have a club that's called that. And I was another setback. So I didn't really have a lot of that perseverance in the beginning.
Yeah.
And I still kind of, I don't know, had this curiosity about leadership. I didn't know what it was. Certainly now that I know a bit more about it, I realize how hard it is to be a leader and that there are so many challenges that I didn't expect in a leadership role. So there was definitely some naivety, which I think actually helped, because I didn't fully understand what I was getting myself into. And my first leadership role ended up being something, I had a day job where I was a project manager, which was leading a team of people, but I didn't have a direct report. So I didn't feel like a leader.
Yeah.
And the first one was when I actually started Power Up Engineering. We ran a free one-day event for girls to find out about engineering. And that was the first time where I really brought a group of people together and realized, oh, okay, this is what it, there's such a big people side of it. It's a thankless job. There's going to be mistakes that you've got to take the heat off, but then, you know, also thanking the team. So that kind of dynamic was quite interesting. And I felt like I learned a lot on the ground without any formal kind of training, which is the whole reason that we started We Aspire, was to help people avoid those mistakes that I certainly made early on in my leadership career. And I think I wish I'd done a bit more, I feel like almost research into like, what is leadership? What does it really mean to lead before I actually stepped into that role?
Absolutely. I am caught up in all of what you've just mentioned. The thing that stood out to me the most was when you had that first setback, that was quite a defining moment of what you've told yourself in terms of what's possible.
Yes.
I can't be a leader now because I haven't got that job opportunity, or, you know, the university have knocked back, you know, this working group or this committee. And I think that that's really important to kind of call out, because you're going to consistently have knockbacks, and it's really that return to the table around how do you recover from the setbacks.
Yeah.
And I mean, nobody really gets their hand held through all of the transitions that they make in their career. You might be lucky enough to get coaching or have a mentor, but you don't have someone there consistently every day to show you what decisions to make, what skills to apply. You know, to do like a SWOT analysis, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and risks of what we're kind of going ahead with. And that's something that you have to hone as a leader, is that ability to try and make the best decision with the information you have. And if you don't have enough, then making the decision to not make a decision, but instead pause, try and do that SWOT analysis, and then go forward.
Yeah.
So I think just reflecting on those defining moments where you do get rejection, I think a leader takes that opportunity to sit back and reflect and go, right, I did it wrong this time, but next time I'm going to do this to recover from it.
Yeah.
And I think that's actually one of the biggest lessons that I've had. So for me, I'm leading a great team at the moment, but I have multiple different personalities. It's quite challenging to kind of navigate how to make each person happy initially as you're kind of building your awareness of, you know, who that person is, what are their strengths, what are their weaknesses. You know, what do they bring to the table that complements each other? And I think, you know, to that point, when you're building a team, they have to be different. They have to have different strengths and weaknesses, because that's really what enables you to cover all facets of what you're trying to deliver. So for me, I'm working with a team that has really great skills and strengths in analytics, and then really great people skills, and really great at engaging. And both sets of skills are highly valuable for me and our team and what we're trying to deliver. But the way that I work with people is really based on my personality and my strengths and weaknesses. So it's really being quite reflective of what do I bring to the table? Why am I getting frustrated in this situation versus that one? How do I unlock the best outcome for both of my people, even though they have very differing strengths and weaknesses? So it's been this great journey of me trying to figure out, why am I getting frustrated in the first place? And if I show that frustration to my team, that's not going to help anyone.
Yeah.
So then how do I help navigate and unlock a really positive experience for them whilst they need to develop skills on the side? And, you know, that means that the onus is not on me, not on my team now, it's on myself.
Yeah.
So I think that takes a considerable amount of self-awareness. And also I think typically leadership styles have been, oh, you can't deliver this piece of work now, I'm going to be frustrated at you because now you've impacted my deadlines, or I can't rely on you as much.
Yeah.
But actually the question for a true leader should be, they weren't able to deliver. Why is that? What do I need to unlock for them to be able to get to that kind of goal?
Yeah. Oh, there's so much in what you said that I want to pick up on. One thing though is around this quote I heard many years ago, which was, the best coaching you get is the coaching that you take. And I think for a leader as well, if your people are not doing what you intend for them to do, then that's a really great reflection question to yourself. You know, and I love what you're saying around, don't get frustrated at the team. Go, oh, well, what have I said that didn't communicate or didn't resonate with them in a way that empowers them and supports them? And I really thought, starting out as a leader, there was this set type of person that you should be. And it's fascinating, the research actually shows that being charismatic is a trait that people really think is a valuable skill for a leader, but charismatic people actually are among it's actually not in terms of a leader the quality that you want to have. And Jim Collins is the one who researched that and actually showed charisma. There you go.
Yeah.
That's right. Charisma is actually doesn't correlate as a trait with a leader, which I found fascinating and surprising.
Yeah.
And so I think we often because of the world that you and I have grown up in, there's a traditional perspective of who a leader is and what that looks like. And it's often portrayed in the media or maybe at school, like the school captain or, you know, the different people around us. And so we associate that with a leader. But I kind of think about it like an iceberg. Mm-hmm. The bit that you see is like literally 10%. And often a leader has done so much work. I feel like this can be like the Thank the Leader Today podcast, because the leader's usually done so much work on themselves underneath, and that bit that sits under the water that we don't see in an iceberg, that, you know, is required to actually think through and navigate that team. And that was a big eye opener when I first started to lead, was that work I needed to do on myself and understand, yeah, what my strengths were, what's that, you know, genius zone for me, what am I not competent at, being okay with that, and then understanding the team. And again, really realizing, as you said, Renee, that one thing isn't going to work with every single person in the team, because the team is different. And it really surprised me that I needed, I feel like, so obvious now.
I agree. Like, it is so obvious, but actually so applying it is not so obvious.
Going, oh, well, everybody's different. Like, I know that, yeah, some of my friends are very different to me. So how that, you know, people, you know, should lead them would be very different as well. So I'm surprised at how much I had to adapt my style to different people. And yeah, no, I just feel so silly saying it loud, but I just genuinely didn't even realize that was a thing.
And I don't actually think it's that silly at all, because I had exactly the same experience in that I walked in being like, I think this is what a good leader looks like, and I think this is how they would respond to certain things. But then when I was in that situation and I found myself getting frustrated, I was like, what am I missing here? Like, what haven't I taken on board? Because I did see it as my own fault, even though it was somebody else not delivering. So it's very easy to get caught up on that. I want to jump back into the research that you mentioned with Phil Collins. Do you recall some of the characteristics or the traits that do correlate to a really strong leader?
That's such a good question. You know, the kind of key takeaway after reading his books, this was in Entrepreneurship 2.0. I'll edit that in the show notes later if it's not the right book. He talked about, I feel like, so much of it was, I feel like this, and maybe this is just more of my opinion rather than his research, but I feel like no matter who you are, you can't, everyone has the capacity to lead.
Mm-hmm.
And it almost, I feel like in some ways, and maybe I'm going to agree with this, but it's whatever personality you have capacity to lead. And I feel like it can be taught. Maybe there are people who are naturally better communicating with people than compared to others.
Yep.
People have natural skills. So it's that, I feel like it's nature and nurture.
Yeah.
And I think no matter where you're coming from, what your background is or what your strengths are, you have great traits to lead. And I actually really love the research has been done by the Center for Army Leadership. So they've been teaching leadership in the British Army for over 350 years, and they've started to document it, and would highly recommend their podcast, and their research is fantastic. They talk about this spectrum of transactional leader to transformational leader. So transactional is like, you know, go run out the trench. Transformational is like, we've got this vision to do these things. And obviously in an army context, you need a lot of the run out the trench, but you also need people to be bought into that why.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of that can be translated into the corporate world as well. And so that ranges in the middle. There's like coaching and mentoring as a style of leadership. So you might actually need to have all those different styles with one person in a week to work with them.
Yep.
So I think that there are going to be things that people are naturally drawn to on that scale of that leadership styles. And there's a whole other range of different leadership tools out and frameworks out there that you can use. So maybe I'm just getting on a rant and it's my personal belief, but I think anyone can be a leader. It just, and you should leverage those strengths. What do you think?
I am going to probably oppose that in saying, or maybe not. I agree that anyone could be a leader, but not everyone wants to be a leader.
That's right, yeah. Everyone's got the potential to be.
Agree. But in saying that as well, I do think it takes a level of self-awareness and a mindset for personal development. You have to be on a continuous learning journey and open to be quite reflective of your own behaviours and not everyone's willing to open that door.
So everyone could lead, but should they? Maybe not.
Yeah, correct. I think that's probably where I would land with that one. And it's definitely been my experience. And in terms of leadership too, what you might find is there's quite a span to kind of respond within. So you've got leadership of your team, and then, you know, leadership of your leader as well. So
managing up.
Yeah, managing up, managing down, managing stakeholders. Like, leadership really can come in so many different forms and can apply to such a broad spectrum of the team that you operate within or among. And that's definitely been my experience as well. I think no matter what your role is, you can lead.
Yeah.
And that could be, you know, in past episodes we've spoken about, you know, providing really quality, high standard work. So that's a form of leadership. Having a development mindset and constantly being reflective and being self-aware is a leadership style and skill. And then there's just pure leadership of people or leadership of your work. So it does come in many forms, and it really just depends on, I guess, being self-reflective enough to understand what you need to prioritize and what you need to work on week to week.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if you're someone who's looking at stepping into a leadership role, or maybe you're there already, there's lots of opportunities to practice those things that you talked about, like leading self, leading others. And it doesn't have to be in your day job. And in fact, if there was, you know, one piece of advice I could give people around first-time leaders would be practice as much as you can in those safe environments where the stakes are low. So I, you know, had my project manager job where I was leading $45 million worth of road projects, which is wild at 23 years old. And then I also had my side project, which was power of engineering, running a team of volunteers. I learned so much more running my team of volunteers because I was in this environment where if I failed, the risks weren't as high, the consequences weren't as bad. In my engineering world, I didn't want to look bad in front of the project control group, in front of the leader of the department. So I was very cautious in how I managed my projects. But it also meant that I didn't get to try things and test things out and really swing out and experiment. Yeah. So it was interesting that I did them in parallel. And so I could really directly compare those experiences and bring things in from power of engineering into my day job. But if I, you know, had to start over again in my career and was starting from the beginning, trying to find those opportunities where I could practice would make such a difference into developing my skills, because I also got to learn what my strengths were and how I could add a lot of value and positively contribute. And it meant that if I screwed up, I wasn't going to lose my job over it.
Yeah.
What would be your one piece of advice, Renee?
My one piece of advice would probably be, amongst getting a mentor in those high risk environments, I think it's really that self-awareness piece. So really having that self-reflection to go, what went well this week? What went not so well? What do I need to work on? I think it's as simple as that at times. So leadership can take all forms. So on that note, you know, picking your priority week to week and really dedicating time and resources to that and getting support to work on those things. Is probably the best way forward as a first-time leader.
I wish I had you as my mentor, Renee.
Oh, I'll stop it right back at you. We've both mentored each other this whole time.
It's been awesome. Such an incredible journey to see your career grow. That's been our advice for first-time leaders. We hope you've enjoyed it, and we will see you in the next episode of Promoted.